If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Tudor Dixon Podcast. As many of you know, I have 4 daughters, and on this podcast, we talk a lot about bringing up children in this new age of technology. And it's something I talk about because, to be honest, I personally struggle with how to manage technology with my children. There's a lot of pressures for them to communicate with friends. And I think if you have kids, you know that there's just a lot of pressure on your children to get a cell phone, get an app, get this, get that. And yet, if you allow any of this, they've made a healthier choice. And then there's this judgment as a parent that you struggle with because you're like, oh, man, I let them do this and other parents won't let them do this. And I struggle with it because when I was growing up, I was a really social kid. And for me, I wanted to talk to my friends as soon as I got home from school. As soon as I was probably in middle school, I was on the phone. And it was different because the phone was attached to the wall. My parents could pick up the other receiver at any time and yell at me to get off the phone. But I needed that interaction with my friends. And now the only interaction you can have is through a cell phone. And so it's tough for me to come to the conclusion that I have to eliminate the cell phone because I'm eliminating that connection, but I know that there are dangers with the cell phone. And we had a new one last week that I hadn't really anticipated, something that I hadn't even talked to my kids about, and I didn't actually know was really going on. So my daughter, who's in high school, was dating a boy, and he broke up with her, and he broke up with her and immediately blocked her on all social media. And that to me was a shock. And she's like, I don't know what happened. He just said he wanted to be friends. But then he blocked me on everything. And it was like this massive sadness I could see. And I thought, what a mean thing. And I sat the girls down and I said, why would he do this? And they said, oh, this is the thing. They all do this and friends do this. And then a friend did this to her a few days later. And then they unblock each other. But you're just cut out of the person's life. You can't speak at all. And it was so devastating. And at that age, something devastating like that can lead to catastrophic results, right? We don't even think about it. We don't really think about etiquette when it comes to these cell phones. And I sat the girls down and I said, we don't block people. It's not something we do. If you don't want to talk to them, explain, I'm not really ready to talk right now. I need space. But don't cut someone out of your life like that. There are so many things that I hadn't thought of with technology, and that's why I'm so glad that today I am joined by retired Navy Captain Peter Ryan. Captain Ryan, he now works at the Pentagon, and he's devoting much of his time to educating everyone from our military officials to parents with young kids like me on why screen addiction is actually a national security issue. Captain Ryan, thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
So let's talk about this because you've written a lot, you've studied a lot, you said that this is your passion, you want to be doing this the rest of your life because you've seen how not only screen addiction has affected our kids, but even those folks in our military who are fighting every day or preparing to fight every day. And there are catastrophic accidents just because of this screen addiction. Can you get into that a little bit?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. So I'm a happily married father of four. And back in 2013 and 14, one of my teenage children began to use the internet in high school and began using it more and more. It's very fair to say as more screen time was being utilized late into the night, decay followed and significant decay. He was a 4.0 student, great, fantastic son and sibling, but by his senior year, he had down near it, muscly apps. And I didn't know what was going on. So as a type A personality, I'm digging into things, trying to understand. And the medical community didn't make sense to me what they were doing. So anyway, finally, it occurred to me that the screen was definitely involved with it. Being a Navy man, I ended up then looking at what's happening in our DOD, and our military men and women are not as healthy as they were back prior to 2008. They just aren't. And the key. So I began to investigate what was going on with them as well. And I actually wrote an article in a Navy Journal Proceedings called Technology, the New Addiction. And by and large, I think we're seeing, particularly post-COVID, that screen time and the levels at which we're using it, and particularly in the evening at night when it's destroying sleep, is incredibly unhealthy. And it's leading to all kinds of second and third order impacts, including increased depression in youth, increase because of our lifestyles being sedentary, vastly increasing issues of overweight and obesity. We're not socializing. There's a great article called Have Smartphones Destroyed a Generation by a psychologist. She's a generational psychologist, Dr. Jean Twenge. And it was in The Atlantic, and I think in 2017 or 18. And that's really the article that caused me the light bulb in my head to go off with what was going on, because she is documenting how generationally changes occur not that quickly, but suddenly as soon as high-speed internet, smartphones, streaming media, and social media came about, streaming media facilitating, unfortunately, streaming porn, there's clear data that shows our kids are changing, and most all of it for the worse.
And this is an uncomfortable topic, but you brought up porn, and that is something that I was reading some of those statistics before we got on the podcast, and just to see that suddenly now teenage boys are suffering with erectile dysfunction. I mean, it's totally shocking. Teenage boys, and they're no longer dating. I mean, this is now the loneliest generation. This Gen Z is the loneliest generation out there. And you think technology would connect you. It's not connecting you. It's making you more and more go into your shell, go into your private solitude. And then to have these medical effects, erectile dysfunction, infertility, what is the future?
Well, yeah, perhaps fertility rate decline is perhaps what you were referring to. Because it's interesting, as soon as we began to see increases in youth depression and suicide and these changes in behavior, our nation's fertility rate started declining in 2008 as well. I don't think it's any coincidence that they're happening at the same time, because young people are not dating, they're not interacting, and young men are consuming, and increasingly women, unfortunately, are consuming porn and video games to such an extent that it's actually more attractive to them than natural relationships leading to marriage. And I think it's a very significant issue from a national perspective, just about repopulating our nation as older folks, die. And then also too, just the health standpoint is overwhelming. And the fact that we isolated kids behind screens for over a year and a half in many cases, I think is so tragic. And it could have been foreseen with a little bit of just thinking about what it would do to a young person's health. I was trying to bring visibility to that. I was censored on LinkedIn for saying that that young people are going to be harmed by this policy. Fortunately, I happen to be Roman Catholic, and in the Catholic Church here in Fairfax County, they actually had children going to school 80% of the time during COVID, which is unlike the public school, which was zero. And we're seeing the results come out in learning loss, massive levels of depression, and young people are suffering immensely, and that's our future generation. And I pray that parents and people, you know, authorities in government are going to see that we've got a damaged generation there, and we're continuing to damage them by rolling out more and more screen-based tools that they're using all the time, not recognizing that very fundamentally, homework at night on a computer. I was listening to a Harvard psychiatrist speak. He wrote a book called Brain Energy. And he was talking about how screen time at night is harming kids and leading to anxiety, depression, because it's harming sleep fundamentally, which is probably the most studied element of all of this. It's very hard to prove, unlike with smoking, where you have years and years of research. The technology is relatively new from a scientific study perspective. And there's also problematically, the medical community has been infiltrated by big tech. There's an entity up at the Boston Children's Hospital, which is affiliated with Harvard. It's called the Digital Wellness Lab. And if you go on their website, you will see who their sponsors are: TikTok, Meta, Snap, Roblox, Discord. It's criminal.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no, 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 no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant, players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The important thing to explain to people out there is these apps all have some addictive quality to them that has been created to be addictive. It's not like it's just a side effect. They have been created to draw people and to make them have to come back every day or more than once a day. I mean, Snapchat is one of them that my kids will be like, oh, I lost my streak with a friend. I'm like, stop. These things don't, what is a streak? First of all, I had to learn that they have to send a picture back and forth every day. And then I'm literally having to say to them, it's not meaningful. This means nothing. They are tricking you. And I said, you guys need to understand, these are companies trying to get you back as a customer. You're not communicating with your friends. You're a customer of these companies. It's very hard for them to understand. But you said something at the beginning of this. You said you didn't like what the medical community was saying when you talked about your own son. I wanted to kind of dig in. I don't know what you meant by that, but I've got somebody in my family who suffers with anxiety and depression. And I have found that the combination of the pharmaceutical industry and technology has made it so that I almost don't recognize this person, because immediately it's like, the technology drives them to the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist immediately puts them on a drug that makes it so that there's no ups, there's no downs, there's no joy, there's no sad, no crying. It's just like this steady anxiety. I would say there is anxiety, but there is not joy or deep sadness. But the anxiety, because it's like I don't fit somewhere, drives them to their phone. And I spend my days watching someone who plays a video game all day. And the answer I got when I asked, why are you doing this? Like, it's like you're not even here, was I have to keep my mind active because of all of the ADD and everything that I'm suffering from. So it's easier for me to not be distracted by the things around me and spend all my time in my phone. Who is telling our young people this?
Well, That's a really good question. Mental health is, I don't want to trivialize it. It's a very challenging field. And it does seem to me that in general, turning to the pharmaceutical option first for these young people who are suffering, perhaps just looking at the lifestyle that we begin to engage in and modify that podcast that I mentioned is with Dr. Chatterjee over in Great Britain. He's a medical doctor, and he actually goes into homes, and he lives with them for a while. The BBC films him, and he does non-pharmaceutical interventions.
Mm.
And he says to a person, they have vastly improved every visit he's made. So I feel as though the pharmaceutical industry has definitely infiltrate a lot of the medical thinking, and it's driving a lot of that because there's massive money involved with that. But to me, we're not focused on health first. It's not to say we don't use medicine. Medicine's critical and it's life-saving, but I don't know that it necessarily needs to be the first option that we seem to turn to, and that seems to be happening broadly. I feel as though if kids are on screens excessively, that in and of itself is going to contribute to anxiety and stress. It elevates, puts them in a state of fight or flight, for instance, playing video games. The chronic stress is no good for us. We are meant to have downtime between facing the saber-toothed tiger. You've got to be able to relax before you can optimally perform. And we're not seeing that. We're seeing nonstop screen usage, particularly post-COVID. Before COVID, it was like 8 hours. The amount of screen time was already incredible beforehand. It's hard to keep up with all the statistics, to be honest with you, because they're always changing. People are measuring at different times, different ways. But it's fair to say with COVID, It was just over the top. And any recommendations from medical providers to limit screen time went out the window because they all just threw in the towel and said, well, we've got to do this virtual schooling to protect our children. Not appreciating the magnitude of the harm that they were doing to them, at least certainly hoping they didn't appreciate it. I did. And I'm very sad it went this way.
Well, I noticed that in one of your writings, you said, you know, there are things that affect people's lives, pandemics and wars, but those are moments in time. This is something that just continues to go on. But I do think for our kids, they have the added component of technology and the pandemic, as you just said, because I remember thinking my kids in Michigan, my kids were locked in the house for months. They weren't allowed to go to the grocery store. They weren't allowed to go out in the neighborhood. There were literally neighbors calling on neighbors to the police if a child was outside for fear the child across the street might actually catch something from them. And so our kids were so trapped, and that was an escape for them. So I do think during that time, they became much more reliant on technology, and it was a change in their mindset of what home time is. And parents were working, kids were at home. It was kind of the perfect storm. But as we came out of it, I think that that didn't really go away. It felt like home time was time to be connected. And how do we get our kids to disconnect? And also, do you see a difference between female children and male children when you look at technology addiction?
So your first question, how do we go about like unwinding this mess we've made?
Mm-hmm.
I think, first of all, parents have to understand the severity of what the screen time is doing to them at the levels that we're seeing. I'm not a Luddite. Like, they're tools. They're going to be with us forever. You and I are on a screen. But we also have to appreciate there's brain development involved. A young man's brain doesn't fully form until about age 26. So during this key period of time, I feel it's really important that parents in particular delay as long as you can getting them these devices, have them engage in activities that are incredibly healthy, get them out socializing, and recognize the more screen time you give them, the worse off they're going to be at the levels we're seeing today. The Attorney General of Virginia, he actually made a really interesting comment. He said, the minute you give your son or daughter a smartphone, their childhood is over. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of tragic. It really is, because so many kids are
very tragic.
But I think awareness is the number one thing. I'm part of a group called, I'm an ambassador for screenstrong.org. I highly recommend them for any parents. They've got all kinds of resources and helps available for parents that are trying to navigate this minefield. So I feel as though awareness is the first point. Ultimately, the Attorney General is actually suing Meta, and there's also class action lawsuits going against video games. Video games have gone below the radar largely. You see Zuckerberg and the CEO or the American CEO of TikTok in front of Capitol, you know, in front of Congress, but you don't see as much about the video games, and they are absolutely devastating young men, particularly. Women are starting to play more as well. Your other question was the difference between boys and girls. There's an awful lot of statistics on all of this and who's being affected and how. Largely, the porn and video games were the domain of young men and teenage boys. Like I said, unfortunately, women are starting to adopt both more, which is a tragedy. And then social media, I think probably because young ladies are very social, like you said you were. The social media is definitely having a greater impact on women. Not to say young boys aren't also affected as well, but that's kind of the layout that I see, and I try to keep up with it all the time. And I know things change too. The technology's morphing all the time, and so it's something to keep up with. That's for sure.
Well, and I think that when you talk about, I mean, to go back to boys, young boys being able to go into porn sites and young girls, one of the things I know we're saying, well, that affects young boys more. But one of the things that I've noticed is that women are struggling to find husbands struggling to find men who can actually function in a relationship. So ultimately, when they're young, I think that that's affecting men. But we have women who are in their 20s and 30s and even 40s who are like, there are no men out there. Where did all of the men go? And I do think that there's like this, you talk about the brain not developing until 26 years old. I think that there is this almost stunting in emotional growth. And I don't know if that is preventing men from being able to connect on a different level with a woman in person or what is happening. But I mean, have you found anything like that in your research? Because I think young women are going, where are all the guys?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. That's an incredibly complex topic. I would sit here and say that the percentage of young men that are doing this, it's changing their brains and their motivation. Like when you play something again and again and again, there's something called neural pruning. If you don't use it, you lose it. So it is changing the brains and the attitudes and motivation. Like any addiction, it pulls people away from healthy behaviors. I mean, the signs that you can look for as a parent, are their friends falling by the wayside? How are their activities? Are they no longer interested in debate or art or whatever it might be, and they're now focused on the screen? And then obviously grades. It is changing people. Matter of fact, I've shared with an economist, the head of the Brownstone Institute, my theory that post-COVID, our inability to get trade schools fully populated, our lower skilled labor areas, we're having a hard time getting back to full employment. And this trend, in my view, is the result of young men largely that are sitting here gaming and just losing interests and losing everything that was a traditional man would be doing. And they're putting off responsibility and hard work because it's so much more attractive to find some dopamine rush on World of Warcraft or whatever it might be, which is absolutely tragic. And the level of use is just incredible. Esports is growing, and these other kinds of things that have second and third order effects that our nation needs to be discussing. I do believe it's a national security threat in total. I don't want to sound like an alarmist, but if you look at the harm to our kids, and if we see that continuing as we're rolling out more and more screen time in the educational arena, more and more just devices of all kinds, I think we really need to tread carefully, because I think there's really negative ramifications associated with this excess screen time.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you on our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So you also talk about how this affects our Navy. Tell me a little bit about what you've seen there, because you've even noted that there have been some deadly accidents, and you can connect that back, or believe that you can connect that back to this addiction to technology.
Yes, Tudor. Very fundamentally, one of the most clear impacts that's been the most studied is the impact of these devices on sleep. And the Navy sailors have always been tired. It's hard work. You know, you're watching.
I'm making that face because I'm like, oh gosh, what am I doing to myself? I mean, I think this is very convicting even for us as adults, because I'm like, I'm guilty of this as well, just scrolling through my phone and then going to sleep.
Right. So back, if you recall, there were some major ship collisions involving many fatalities and almost the loss of the ship in some cases. The McCain and Fitzgerald collisions. One of the underlying causes for that was said to be sleep, lack of sleep on the part of the watchstanders. If you look at things such as mishaps per flying hour, which is an aviation metric, we see a growing set of mishaps per flying hour from 2011 to 2018. The data is hard to come by. That was FOIA information. But it clearly seems to be growing in lockstep with the growth in screen time that we're using at large. And then the Navy also, and DoD, in a bigger picture, we've seen a growing set of suicides that matches in growth that which the greater population of young people is showing. So between mental wellness and sleep, it seems to me that we're less ready as a force, and we need to help our military men and women understand the addictive nature of these games that, as you said, Silicon Valley trains these behavioral scientists how to make these products addictively, which is a fact. And then so training our sailors on that, and then going ahead and putting in prudent limitations on screen use to make sure that we're optimized, that we're well, we're healthy. These kinds of limitations on screen use should be something that we all consider what we're doing, because it's a lifestyle thing that we've just embraced. And even going to the weight room, I look at young guys sitting here on the bench. They're on the bench press, and they're sitting there and they're scrolling on their phone between sets. And I'm like, okay, are you going to get up? 10 minutes just went by. I need to use the bench. And I'm being a little bit flippant.
Well, that's another thing is physical health. Something else that we've seen, a decline in physical health. I mean, I think it was 10 years ago or maybe even 2011 when an article came out saying that we're too fat to serve as Americans. And these are young people. We're talking about teenagers who can't join the military because they're so overweight. And I've seen this increase just the difference. I think when you are a young person today and you have children and you go to kindergarten for the first time with your kids, I'm in my 40s, so I go back to the 80s when I was going to kindergarten, and I look at the difference just from my elementary school experience to my kids today. And I look at the children in the school, and this is not to criticize, but there's no way to miss the fact that there is a significant number of children who are severely overweight. And I wonder, how has technology contributed to that? And not just from the standpoint of my own kids being on technology, but also me being on technology, because it's just like a time suck. It sucks things. It sucks your day away from you. You can get to the point where you don't realize you're doing it. And it's like, oh, did I have time to make a healthy meal? Yeah, I probably did if I didn't allow the time suck, you know? And then you wonder, is it because my kids are sitting around on the couch that they're gaining weight? What are we doing today as a society that suddenly this generation, Gen Z and Gen Alpha, are suddenly so much more unhealthy than past generations? How could we be getting to a point where we're becoming unhealthy rather than healthier with all we know?
Amen. Would you come on the speaking circuit with me? No.
Sure. Why not? Hey, I'm passionate about this, and I have constant guilt about it myself, because I'm like, are we having enough conversations, and are we sitting down as a family enough, and is that keeping them from getting sucked into these ideas? And I do think that there's a huge responsibility on parents today to have more meaningful conversation, to take that time. We're putting everything away. Tell me about your day. Tell me what's going on. Tell me about the boy you like. And that's another thing that I've had parents like, I don't want to talk about that stuff. Well, they're going to talk about it with someone else.
Oh, yeah.
How do we get more engaged with our families?
Well, that's first of all, I think parents have to take ownership of it. And that's probably not something that's necessarily popular, but we have to set our own limits. When we go to the dinner table at a restaurant, how many times do you just see families immersing their faces in smartphones all the way around? It's rather tragic. I see kids in the neighborhood being pushed in strollers, babies, and the parents are walking the smartphone. There needs to be a national movement toward understanding what the technology has done to us. Prior to 2008, you'd regularly see kids riding bikes in the neighborhood, running around, playing kickball over in the side open yard. You don't see that as much anymore. And that's leading to all these consequences of being overweight, being unhealthy, being isolated. And frankly, for parents too, I think this nonstop connectivity, looking at whatever the news is online, like I'm a news junkie too, but I've actually made a point to get a newspaper sent to me once a week. And I try to greatly limit my time on the news, because I think you can get yourself worked up too. So then parents are tired, single parents especially. What a challenge that would be coming home in today's day and age. And I would have given my kid an iPad to go, here, spend some time. Let me make dinner and do the dishes and do some laundry. I sympathize greatly. Our pace of life is incredibly challenging. But as a family, we probably need to have an honest discussion internally and say, what are we doing as a family? How is it impacting us? Because I tell you what, if we continue down this road, the problems are only going to get greater unless we get this under control. And I feel as though, you know, reaching back on our faith, the pace at which we're going is also pulling kids away from their faith.
Mm-hmm.
These devices are the new golden calf, if you will. And when I give presentations, I actually put an iPhone up in place of the golden calf. But
you know, yesterday I was at a meeting and one of the speakers said, I will tell you that there are two simple things that you can measure as to whether or not your child will be a healthy adult. And one of them is, do you make time to sit down for dinner together and actually talk? And the other one is, ask yourself how often you take your child to a church service. And, you know, those are things that now used to not be sacrifices. Now we see those as sacrifices. They're so critical to be involved and show your child that they're important. He made another comment. Every time you're sitting there on the cell phone, mindlessly scrolling, someone else is more important than your kid. You're teaching them that. And you're teaching them that they can also feel that someone else is more important than their family member. Man, it's really convicting when you go through this. But that's why I enjoy having these conversations because I am learning. And I think there's so many parents out there like me who we've never experienced this. We didn't grow up with it. We don't know how to handle it. There's so many pressures. And how do we control it? So I appreciate so much what you're doing. I think there's so much more that we can dig into on this conversation. And I'd love to have you back and have more conversations about this, because I think we've kind of uncovered the problem, but we can really dig into what some solutions are and how parents can manage this and how we can talk to other parents about this too. So I'd love to have you back to kind of dig in a little deeper.
That would be my honor. I'd love to.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for reaching out to me and being willing to come on. Captain Ryan, what you're doing is so important. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate what you're doing, Tudor.
Oh, thank you. And thank you all for joining us on the Tudor Podcast. For this episode and others, go to TudorDixonPodcast.com. You can subscribe right there or head over to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time on the Tudor Dixon Podcast. Have a blessed day.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.